This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
11 1/2 after 6. Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Taking a look at your grain futures, we really just have the numbers from yesterday. No big report released on Tuesday. March corn for Tuesday closed at 4.24¾, up 0.75 cents yesterday. May corn closed at 4.27¾, up 0.5 cents. July corn, 4.28¾, up 0.25. And next year, new crop, September, 4.13½, up 0.25 cents. Soybeans closed double digits higher. January beans, 11.84¼, up 14¾. March beans, 11.88¾, up 14¼. May beans at 11.90¼, up 13¾. July beans, 11.88, up 12¾. Soybean meal for January, 388.20 per ton, up 7.50. And January bean oil closed at 39.19, up 46 cents. Wheat also had a nice bounce back on a turnaround Tuesday. Chicago March wheat at 5.99¾, up by 3¼. March Kansas City at 5.66, up 3¾. And Minneapolis wheat for March, 5.59½, up 2 cents. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Tuesday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Tuesday afternoon as soybeans posted gains over concerns of tight supplies. In northern western white country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids a penny higher, 3.93 to 4.22. Soybeans bids are up 15 cents at 11.34 to 11.81. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids a penny higher at 4.03 to 4.32. Soybeans bids are up 10 to 15 cents at 11.61 to 11.84. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly a penny higher, 404 to 445, while soybean bids were up 15 to 20 cents at 1164 to 1210. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 15 cents higher at 1194 to 1204, with basis steady at 10 over to 20 over the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 386.20 to 398.20 a ton, up $7.50 a ton, with basis unchanged at 200 to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were a penny higher at 420 to 450, with basis steady at 500 to 25 over the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids a penny higher at 4¼ to 429, with basis unchanged at option to 4 over the March. Soybeans ended up 15 to 16 cents at 1181 to 1183, with basis steady to up 1 at 300 to 1 under the January. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids mixed at 448 to 450. These elevators raised their soybean prices 14 cents, quotations at 1209 to 1210. Soft wheat closed 3 cents higher at 629 to 630. Milo ended the day a penny higher at 494 to 499. Contract bids producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 395 to 4¼, soybeans at 1134 to 1183. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 405 to 431, soybeans at 1168 to $12. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 410 to 450, soybeans at 1169 to 1215. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock report here on this Wednesday morning. Your cattle futures yesterday for December closed at 108.60, down 50 cents. February cattle, 112.87, down 22. April cattle at 117.12, down 25. January feeders at 140.10, up 7 cents. March feeders, 140.90, up 30. April feeders at 142.17, up 32 cents. Moving on to your hogs, February hogs closed at 66.45, up 77 cents yesterday. April hogs, 69.57, up 75. May hogs at 74.10, up 80 cents. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday, Tuesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon livestock report. Starting in National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 6 cents higher in a range of 47 to 56.50 with a weighted average carcass price of 53.55. On the Illinois direct sow port, slaughter sow prices were steady, with moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 to 3 grade sows, 100-400 pounds, traded $24 to $27, 4 to 5 weight at $26 to $29, 5 to 6 weight at $30 to $33, and over 600 pounds, $32 to $35. On the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $31 to $36. Pack of receipts for barrels and gilts totaled 37,774. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers live basis trade at 105 and on address basis at 165. Choice heifers and live basis trade at 103 to 105 and on address basis at 165. From the National Daily Pork Plant, pork trading for retail and processing cuts was steady, with 424 loads traded. Calculations are 200-pound Parker Coosa 74.14, which is $2.89 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcass 208.82, which is 87 cents lower, while select carcasses were 192.20, which is 10 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 120,000, compared to 115,000 last week and 123,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 497,000, compared to 496,000 last week and 496,000 one year ago. That includes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for Part 1 of the Morning Ag Show. It's 18 minutes after 6 on this Wednesday morning. Part 1 of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois, by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, and by Pros Drainage. This check of radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. Part 2 of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by the CNB Bank and Trust with 17 locations to serve you. By the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by Stein Seed. And once again, we joined WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here for Ag News on your Wednesday morning. Politics, not just a virus, is proving deadly in America as lawmakers continue to endlessly fight over relief the country is desperate for. Americans are dying, businesses are closing and laying off workers, farmers need more help, and states and cities are losing revenue. But what are lawmakers doing? Fighting. People have had it up to here, and Central Illinois moderate Republican Rodney Davis agrees.
I share their frustration. I really, truly do. Keep in mind, though, in Speaker Pelosi's own words, she wanted to wait to help them, to help struggling American businesses, to help give them access to billions that are still sitting in accounts from legislation we passed back in March and April. They can't get access to those dollars, even though they're struggling to financially survive. And Speaker Pelosi says, hey, I want to wait for a new president.
Pelosi and Democrats blame Republicans for not backing aid for states and cities and insisting on COVID lawsuit protections for businesses like meatpacking plants. There's also fighting over agency spending bills, which could force a vote on another short-term bill to keep the government open during a rare session during the New Year's Eve week. But Davis sees one bright spot, a life-saving, economy-rescuing vaccine now being distributed with the help of Midwest corn and ethanol producers.
We see them producing things like carbon dioxide, CO2 that needs to go into materials that are going to help us move in a temperature-controlled manner this historic vaccine out into the public arena. A vaccine, multiple vaccines being used for the most vulnerable in our country because we invested and we came together in a bipartisan way months ago.
Davis is still hopeful that lawmakers will resolve their differences for the sake of the country. He also talks about that ultimately defeating the virus will lead to greater opportunities for mid-Illinois producers.
You know, absolutely. Our farmers, when you look at the great yields they've had, and we look at the increased markets that even more so in the midst of the pandemic than what we anticipated during the trade wars not so long ago, hopefully news is looking up for our farmers and our ag sector. The problem is we're still in the midst of this COVID pandemic, and that's got to be our first priority, is to defeat this virus. And frankly, I'm so proud of the bipartisan work that we were able to do back in the spring to allow for American ingenuity to come up with multiple vaccines. That puts us on a path back to normalcy. We see light at the end of the tunnel. And we've just got to be ready to make sure the programs are in place and the opportunities to sell products in the global marketplace are there once we come out of it.
Finally, Davis, who is a member of the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, is proud of the investments made on the lock and dam system on the Illinois and Mississippi rivers this year and says it will be a game changer for Midwestern farmers in the long run.
Well, I'm glad that the Trump administration was finally the administration to invest in our locks and dams along the Illinois and Mississippi River waterways. It's crucial for our farmers to get their products out in the global marketplace. And that the investment in LaGrange has been amazing. And it got done on time, just like they said it would. And I'm excited to see that. So now we have to keep moving. But it took that first investment, Dave, to be able to get people to take seriously that these investments and these rehabs and these modernization of the old locks in our lock and dam system needed to be repaired and needed to be done. And that's exactly what this has done. And I'm confident that this administration and hopefully any future administration will take what the Trump administration did and continue that process.
Again, that's Congressman Rodney Davis of Taylorville. Krista Hardin will be taking the role of CEO of the U.S. Dairy Export Council if Tom Vilsack, who currently serves as CEO, is confirmed as the next agricultural secretary. Hardin served as Deputy Ag Secretary from 2013 through 2016 and is the current Chief Operating Officer at the USDEC. Vilsack previously served as Ag Secretary during the entirety of the Obama administration. Chair of the organization, Larry Hancock, stated in a news release, Vilsack will continue to serve fully in his role as President and CEO of the USDEC until he's confirmed as the Secretary of Agriculture for the new administration. Once Vilsack is confirmed as Ag Secretary, Hardin will become the CEO of USDEC. Dairy Management Incorporated CEO Tom Gallagher says, "We are extremely fortunate to have Secretary Vilsack's dedication and commitment to dairy farmers over the past 4 years, and to have someone with Krista's background and experience in agriculture with the USDEC ready to step in to a new role." The CHS Foundation, funded by charitable gifts from CHS, announced a more than $4 million commitment over the next 3 years to the National FFA organization. The effort will include annual funding for programs the CHS Foundation has had a history of supporting. These include the Teach Ag campaign, which focuses on ag teacher retention and recruitment, educating students on the value of the cooperative system through My Local Cooperative curriculum participation in proficiency awards, and National FFA Convention and support of 17 state FFA associations. New focus areas for the CHS Foundation include dedicated funding for students' supervised ag experiences, or SAEs, and state officer leadership programs. National FFA Foundation President Molly Ball says, quote, "We are excited to see the CHS Foundation recognize the key role that our educators play in creating the next generation of leaders. CHS Foundation has been a generous partner with the National FFA for more than 40 years. And new research published in the Journal of Animal Science and Biotechnology provides insight into the fight against African swine fever. The research, a collaborative effort between academia and natural biologics, characterized the antiviral effect of individual medium-chain fatty acids and glycerol monolaurate, known as GML, to inhibit ASF in feed. Animal feed and feed ingredients have been recently implicated as potential vectors of transmissional spread of ASF. The study says effective feed mitigation strategies are urgently needed to reduce the risk of transboundary spread and would improve prospects for global pig production. Natural Biologics President Dr. Charles Elrod says, quote, "This research establishes the science behind a viable opportunity to curb disease transmission. The research found GML not only killed ASF, but also exhibited additional mechanisms of antiviral activity, leading to a 99.8% reduction in the amount of infective virus. In feed, only GML was able to inactivate ASF, working quickly in as little as a half an hour." Moving along now into State of Illinois Ag News, the Illinois Department of Agriculture has announced the second year of the Fall Covers for Spring Savings Program. The program is eligible for acreage here in Illinois planted to a cover crop this fall that will then be planted to an insurable crop come spring. Eligible applicants receive a $5 per acre premium discount on the following year's crop insurance invoice for every acre of cover crops enrolled and verified within the program. Last year, which was the inaugural season, an additional 50,000 acres of cover crops were planted in the state, with 70% of applicants identified as planting a cover crop for the very first time. Farmers are encouraged to take this program into consideration when making their fall planting decisions. And if you need more information, you can call the Illinois Department of Agriculture at 217-782-6297. In other news from the state, it's full steam ahead for the 2021 State Fair already. Planning has been underway with some big announcements coming from the Illinois State Fair, including the grandstand concert lineup. For the first time, the State Fair is announcing part of the grandstand concert lineup before Christmas. Tickets go on sale today for shows by Toby Keith, Kelsey Ballerini, George Thorogood, and more. There will also be a new seating area for the concerts called the Blue Ribbon Zone, and a new ride pass, says State Fair Manager Kevin Gordon.
This is the first year that I've been with the fair, and I think in the history of the fair, that we have ever released our grandstand acts and went on sale prior to Christmas. I think it gives the individuals who want to go to the concert, gives them a golden opportunity to purchase these as Christmas presents, which is great. Now, we're very, very excited about that. For an extra $10 on your Mega Pass, you can purchase a Jumbo Pass, and that will include as many times as you want to go down the giant slide for 11 days.
Both the Jumbo Pass and the Mega Pass go on sale this week at a reduced rate for the holidays. You can learn more online at IllinoisStateFair.info. In other ag news from around the state, beginning here in late December, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Ag Statistics Service will be spending several months gathering information about farm economics and production practices from farmers across the state as the agency conducts the third and final phase of the 2020 Agricultural Resource Management Survey, or ARMS. In an effort to obtain the most accurate data, NAS will reach out to more than 30,000 producers across the country, including more than 1,600 here in Illinois between January and April. The survey asks producers to provide in-depth information about their operating revenue and household characteristics. The 2020 ARMS survey includes a version of the questionnaire focused on hog and pig production cost returns. This year, the survey will also include questions to help measure any impacts of COVID-19 on the farm, on-farm finances, and off-farm employment. In addition to producing accurate information, NAS also reminds you they have strong safeguards in place to protect the confidentiality of all farmers who respond to its survey. The agency only publishes data in aggregate form, ensuring that the confidentiality of all responders and that no individual responder or operation can be identified. The expense data gathered in ARMS will be published in the annual Farm Production Expenditure Report in July of next year. That report and others are available online at nas.usda.gov/publications. More reports based on ARMS data and more information about ARMS are available online at ers.usda.gov/ARMS. And in local ag news, 6 U of I Extension employees were recognized for their accomplishments resulting in organizational change that supports diversity, pluralism, and innovation. The local winner was Amanda Cole, and she serves as director of Christian Jersey, Macoupin, and Montgomery County. And she works to assess needs within the community, and then she works to connect individuals, families, businesses, organizations, and communities to an unbiased research through extension programs, which the goal of empowering those to serve to make better informed decisions. Her interests include educating communities on issues facing those living in poverty and on the resources available through extension. Cole is a native of Central Illinois, and she earned both her Bachelor of Science and Master's of Business Administration from Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. Her primary focus of study was business and finance. And that'll conclude your Ag News here on a Wednesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Wednesday morning, December 16th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.